Okay, so we've got three full barrels from three different grape varieties. Vineyard source all the same, so there's Chardonnay, there's Nebbiolo, and there's Tannat, all from New England, up in the Highlands. And all three of those wines are 2017, and they're just sort of resting in barrel, and beyond them are two steel tanks with some top-up juice.
You could be forgiven for thinking I was in a winery checking out the latest vintage. But I'm not in grape-growing country. I'm actually in inner-city Brisbane in Queensland, in a very small bottle shop in the suburb of Red Hill, where Tony Harper and his partner Tanya are running an urban wine project. They're bringing the whole winemaking process into the city, giving locals a chance to stomp, press, ferment, and finally bottle delicious red and white wines. I've caught up with Tony as he checks and tops up his barrels. The process of getting that wine into the barrels and getting all the grapes crushed, how did that happen?
That happened with a lot of help from a lot of sort of friends of craft and Red Hill people. We shipped the grapes up and we set up the crush or the press out on the footpath, and everyone gets their hands sticky and helps us with the process, and we trudge into the store and ferment in store.
We're looking at the barrels here in the middle of the store at the moment. Who do you find comes and pokes their head around and asks the most questions?
All sorts of people, but the ones that I find are most intrigued are kids. And I'm talking little kids, like 10 years old and younger, and they always want to pull the bungs out. They want to have a look. They want to have a smell. For some reason, they're really into it.
What has been one of the trickiest parts so far?
The trickiest thing is a couple of times we've pressed in store, and you know, the press, if you can imagine, it's a big wooden basket, and all of the grape juice and skins go into it, and then it gets wound down, and you end up with this fairly dry cake, and it's solid, and then you need to split that cake apart and get it out. The mess is absolutely extraordinary.
Just everywhere.
Everywhere. It is phenomenally messy.
I was going to say, up here at Red Hill, after you have the stomping days and then you'll have the bottling days, do you sort of leave that red tint with your reds around?
If you actually had it like it is, all over the walls, if I was to lift up some cartons there, you'd see it on the floor, yes.
It gives it that authenticity though, doesn't it?
It surely does. I don't get much. Oh, that's clear. Wow. So, like a week ago, I stirred that. When you ferment, and this was fermented in that barrel, so you've got all bits of solid from the grapes. You've got, you know, little flecks of skins and seeds and all sorts of crap in there, even though we've pressed it off and got the juice. But the juice is really cloudy. If you think cloudy apple juice, but worse. And then fermentation, you get all this yeast material, dead yeast, which is, it's like a really loose clay. I don't know if you've ever been done pottery, but slip, it feels like that, this, you know, really loose slimy sludge, and there'll be a big pool of that at the bottom of that barrel. So every couple of weeks I stir that up and through it, and it gets really cloudy. But, and you can see that's more cloudy than your standard bottle of wine, but it's pretty clear compared to what it was a week ago when I did it. So the fun thing about this process is there's a bunch of people have tried that since it was really sticky grape juice. And then they'll come in tonight and taste it now as, you know, three-quarter finished wine. But this might be the 20th time they've tasted it. So you get that whole evolution.
And do you find that that is why people are drawn to it, that they get to see what they've taken part of and they get to be part of that hands-on process?
Yes, absolutely. And everyone who helps gets handed a few bottles at the end, which is kind of fun. There we go, big suction. This is my favourite grape variety on the planet, and I reckon it's maybe the hardest variety to get right. It still smells fruity, but you get that rose petal.
So what happens from now, Tony?
Not a great deal, apart from checking the wines every couple of weeks and topping the barrels up, because they do lose that little bit all the time, so keeping them full's paramount. The two reds will need to go through malolactic, so when spring comes and temperature's warm, I'll come in one morning and those bungs will have flown out, because that ferment builds pressure, and all of a sudden it's pow, out will come the bungs, and I'll know they're going through malo. And that, like when you tasted that young Tannat versus the three-year-old Tannat, part of that shift is malolactic, which softens the acids and makes everything a bit rounder and you know, smoother, I guess. Keep it as natural as I possibly can. The Chardonnay, it'll get bottled first. So once I've decided it's either ready or it's not going to get any better, there's a tipping point, I think. And, you know, I'm fairly novice at this, but you can leave and fiddle or leave and fiddle or leave and fiddle, and then there's a tipping point where you're not gaining traction, you're losing it. And I think good winemaking is knowing that point, when to go, right, get it in bottle. It's just going to get worse.
And how tricky is it to be making wine in these sort of conditions? It would have to be a love project.
It was really tricky for the first couple of years, but we've worked out a system. And we used to do a lot of it on the footpath and then trek it all in. And we've actually worked out that we're better off clearing a space in the winery, in the shop, and doing most of it in here. Otherwise, you just spread mess. You know, the initial crush we always do out there because it attracts lots of attention, it's good fun, and you need the space. But bottling will do in here. We've got pretty good at it. Got faster and neater.
So what happens then on bottling day? Do you invite some people back, or is it just you guys bottling the wine?
No. Every step of the way, I send out an email or a Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. social media thing, and we invite people. The more the merrier. You know, many hands make light work. So we love people coming along, helping out.
Do you find that inviting the community in and teaching them about this process and giving them that hands-on feeling creates a good sense of letting people see inside the wine business?
That's the whole point. It is the absolute whole point. Yeah.